Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. I got something I'm gonna read here. Police harass a man legally carrying a gun. Press likes this is something new. Little do they know. I'm gonna read the story, then I'm gonna play what I have to tape. A story in today's Philadelphia Daily News shows why it's important that citizens be allowed to videotape cops. It can be a citizen's only way to fight back against police abuse of power. This incident happened several weeks ago in Philadelphia to Mark Farino, a 25-year-old IT worker who carries a gun on his hip at all times for self-defense. He got the gun after several friends were mugged, but he didn't count on attacks by police. On a mild February, Farino, 25, decided to walk to the AutoZone on Frankfurt Avenue in Northeast Philly with his .40-caliber Glock he legally owns holstered in plain view on his left hip. His stroll ended when someone called out from behind, "Yo, Junior, what are you doing?" Farino wheeled and saw Sergeant Michael Doherty aiming a handgun at him. What happened next would be hard to believe, except that Farino audio recorded all of it, a tense, profanity-laced 40-minute encounter with the cops who told him what he was doing, openly carrying a gun in the city streets, was against the law. "Do you know you can't openly carry here in Philadelphia?" Doherty asked. According to the YouTube clip, yes, you can if you have a license to carry firearms. It's a directive 137. It's your own internal directive. Farino was right. It was perfectly legal to carry the gun, but he didn't matter to the cop. Farino offered to show Doherty his driver's license, firearm licenses. The cop told him to get on his knees. "Excuse me," Farino said. "Get down on your knees. Just obey what I'm saying," Doherty said. "Sir," Farino replied, "I'm more than happy to just stand here. If you make a move, I'm going to fucking shoot you," Doherty snapped. "I'm telling you right now that you make a move and you're going down." "Is this necessary?" Farino said. It went on like that for a little while until the other officers responded to Doherty's calls for backup. Farino was forced to the ground and shouted as he tried to explain that he had a firearms license and was legally allowed to open carry his weapon. "You fuck, you come here looking for fucking problems? Where do you live?" yelled one officer. "I'm sorry, gentlemen," Farino said. "If I'm under arrest, I have nothing to say." "Fucking asshole, shut the fuck up," the cop hollered. The cops discovered his recorder as they searched his pockets and unleashed another string of expletives. Farino sat handcuffed in a police wagon while the officers made numerous calls to call supervisors trying to find out if they could lock him up. What they learned that they were in the wrong and they let him go, but only temporarily. He posted the audio on YouTube, and now they're harassing him again. A new investigation was launched, and last month, the district attorney's office decided to charge Farino with reckless endangerment and disorderly conduct because the spokeswoman said he refused to cooperate with police. He's scheduled for trial in July. If one listens to the audio tape, it's hard to imagine a reasonable person could charge Farino and not the cops for disorderly conduct. I'm going to play that right now.
Junior, excuse me. Why are you pointing your gun at me, officer? Why are you pointing your gun at me, officer? Sir, you're threatening me with lethal force. You're pointing a weapon at me.
I don't know who you are. You got a gun on
you. Would you like to see my license to carry firearms and my driver's license?
I'm going to get a gun on him. Give me a little trouble. I'm at Frankfurt Plastic right here.
What they're doing now is going through all the paperwork.
When a fucking cop tells you to show me hands, you show me hands. That's how you lose your license.
That's how you lose your license, sir. I had my hands out.
You had your hands in your pocket.
I had my hands out and clearly visible.
I told you, get on your knees. You said, why am I have to get on my knees? I'm being disrespectful to you.
As you guys can hear, they're calling in the troops from everywhere. One guy with a gun with a license to carry it.
I did it on purpose.
Hey, I'm in public, and I'm speaking with
public officers
acting in their public duty.
Shut the fuck up. That's what the fuck you're doing.
Yeah, on purpose, did you do?
I'm sorry, then. I was on
my
car phone
to pick up a part for my car.
Turn over.
It sounds like they're kicking that tape recorder around on the ground to see if it's going to break, but I don't think it does. Now they're trying to call around and see what they could charge this guy with, but in the end, they can't charge him with anything. So the DA gets involved and tries to jam him up that way.
Thank you.
After listening to this, it's hard to believe that anybody with reasonable senses, common sense, would know that this guy wasn't disorderly conduct. It's more like the cops. He said he refused to cooperate with police. I didn't hear that. But he's scheduled for trial in July. So real quick, we're going to... I'm going to play a song real quick, and it's appropriate since this guy doesn't leave the house without his gun.
Thank you.
Sorry about that. I was trying to find something. I think I got it. We'll go from there. Here we go. I think this is...
Do you believe in the Second Amendment?
This is appropriate for this one and the next one.
Do you believe in the Second Amendment to the Constitution, right? I mean, you consider yourself a keeper of the flame, and you intend to pass that torch on to the next generation of Americans. So tell me, if you could see into the next century and know whether the Second Amendment is still intact or in shambles, would you look? If someone could predict the outcome a half a hundred years from now of all your conviction and commitment and hard work, would you listen? Well, you can.
What guarantees me freedom? Oh, that's a hard question. What is the Constitution? I don't know.
They be the keepers of the flame?
No, I do not think everybody should have a right to own a gun.
What is the Constitution? I don't know.
Guns, in general, are very bad.
What is the Constitution? I don't know. What's the Constitution? I don't know.
Will they carry the torch?
I have no idea what the Second Amendment is.
An amendment is...
Oh, I know what the Second Amendment is.
What is the Second Amendment?
You got me there.
I don't know.
Something's gone wrong. For all our vigilance and battle scars over the Bill of Rights, can we let the flame of freedom's torch grow cold? Because there can be no torch to pass where there's no flame. Well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Second Amendment. Textbooks ignore it, schools teach against it, clergy preach against it, politicians legislate against it, media ridicule it, movies pervert it, courts avoid it, and too many gun owners permit it. So it's not unreasonable that with one lost generation, we could lose the Second Amendment forever. Because we didn't teach them what the battle's all about. We didn't strike that spark in their hearts that lights the fire for freedom. So why does that belief burn so brightly in you and me? Our core beliefs are the work of all the men and women of our childhoods. A constellation of people who orbited around us, tugging here, pushing there, day after day as we grew, shaping our beliefs, carving our characters until we became who we are. You remember them? Parents who didn't just talk about values, but who lived out those values. The gym coach whose knotted rope taught you to pull your own weight. The scoutmaster who surely had a job and a family to tend to, but always made time for you. The clergyman whose moral compass helped guide your way. The grocery store owner who played along with mom in an unscripted scolding that ended your candy pilfering days forever. The principal whose handmade paddle was somehow comforting. It meant punishment was certain. So was forgiveness. The neighborhood teenager who bragged about joining the army, but whose silence after the war taught you even more. The teacher who stood up for the weak and stared down the bully. The neighborhood policeman who didn't just know the law,
Hello, caller.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. How you doing?
Yeah, not bad. What you up to?
Not much. Just trying to get some things straight in my head. Some people, I guess you have a license to carry a gun. You still can't carry a gun. I don't know what the fuck's going on with these people, man. They want to charge this guy, and it's not him. If you listen to that tape, did you hear that in the beginning?
Oh, I heard most of it, yeah.
I think they were out of hand and should be charged with disorderly conduct, not him. Hold on 1 second. Hello, caller.
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, this
You're on the air, go ahead. How you doing, Kelly?
Yeah, this, How you doing, buddy?
Not bad. Bill couldn't join us tonight. He took care of his mom. But
yeah.
I'm waiting for Ryan to call.
Well. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for Ryan to call,
but if you wanna bring everybody up to speed.
Yeah, this Saturday at 6 o'clock in Ramona at main stage which is the old movie theater, Ryan and his band Given Life are doing.
Yeah, Ryan's on the line right now.
Great.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good.
How are you doing, Ryan?
How are you?
I'm doing all right, man. Coyote, you out there doing a little press?
What's that?
I see you out there doing a little press for us. That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want you guys to know we have Eva Lee on the line from England right now too.
Great.
Awesome.
Well, go ahead, Coyote. You got the chair.
As I was saying, Ryan and his band, Given Life, are doing a benefit Saturday night in Ramona. We still have two victims suffering financially. Sandy Miller, her husband, was killed November 13th in the accident. He was the only breadwinner in their household for the 35 years they were married. So she's struggling to try to make ends meet and get back in the mainstream there. And Melanie Barnes was just released here in March, has to go back in for some hip surgery, and the insurance company has already told her that she's out of hospital stay for the rest of the year. How an insurance company can deny you that, I don't know. I'm a simple man. I know a lot more about motorcycles than I do about insurance companies. But
right.
It's going to be a huge financial burden on the Barnes as well.
And what we're talking about is Coyote is the president of the Central Traps Motorcycle Club. They were involved in that big hit and run in November.
Yep. So
if anybody wanted to make a donation, if you are they still accepting donations and stuff? Is there a point of
absolutely.
Contact for that?
The East County Posse .org has a website. They are a 501c3. You get to write that off, and they've been a huge benefit to us organizing, collecting, you know, accountability. Quite honestly, a guy that looks like I do, I'd be a little concerned about giving them cash money too. So they've been added a huge amount of credibility to what we're doing, as well as accountability, so that people know when they donate what where it's going, and you know that it's going where we say it's going. So that's been huge for us. I work in the dirt for a living, so the money aspect is most certainly better left to somebody that knows that, and they've been huge in providing that service for us.
Right. And somebody that looks like me, I'm in the same boat. I bang steel and pipe all day.
But Ryan had approached our treasurer. He's been on several rides with us, and he had approached our treasurer after the accident and wanted to do a benefit. They have a great band. They have a great band coming down from L.A. as well. And our treasurer just told Ryan to let things settle in. There was so much going on. And about a month ago, Ryan called our treasurer and told him it's time. And Ryan has been hugely instrumental in putting this together. He's most certainly a man with a good heart. Him and his sister both have just put a ton of work in this.
Ryan, I'm gonna turn the chair over to you, and Coyote and I and Evil E in London and the rest of the people around the world right now. We'd like to hear you speak, my brother.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate it, Phil. You know, I've been extremely lucky to share the road with Coyote and Dan and a bunch of guys, and we've just gotten to be pretty close friends. And so when this deal went down in November, as Coyote mentioned, I called Dan to make sure he was okay, and then second, I asked him, "What can I do, Brett?" And he said, "Well, maybe you could do a fundraiser or something, you know." But right now, he says, "We're just," you know, he was choking back words, just trying to talk. He said, "Look, we're just overwhelmed. Maybe sometime next year when things calm down, these people are going to need some help," is what he said. And so we called it pretty good, man. As you heard Coyote explain, you know, things are, all the news media attention has passed by. All the help has faded away, and these folks are left with the circumstances. And, you know, what we're doing with this benefit show is going to make a hell of a difference, and it won't fix everything. But by doing, like Carl, like Coyote was saying, if we run everything through the East County Posse, then they can keep the funds away from the bankruptcy courts, so the money can really be used for these families to pay things like grocery bills, because they're in a bad. They're like the rest of us. They just got way more worse stuff to deal with. And
I can tell you from personal experience. I spent 9 months down. I got hit on July 17th of 2009.
Yeah.
I was down for 9 months, and there's 3 plates and 48 screws holding my shoulder on.
I got thrown over an intersection as a kid, and I got hit head on as a kid. And I've been lucky, but I know what it's like.
I happened to get hit by a drunk, a fucking bagger that he just bought from El Cajon Harley Davidson.
Oh God. Well, glad to hear your book put back together. Sounds like you got a little bionics going on now.
Yeah, it goes with the rest of the screws and bolts that are holding me together.
Yeah, right on. So I bet you're getting through airport security is a little bit of a bear, huh?
Yeah, until they tell me to take off my clothes, and then they want to look and they make sure everything's under my skin.
Yeah,
so I tell
them
at that point, maybe you guys want to just jerk me off and make my day complete.
Give me some reach around. So that's the whole point, and is getting some help for these families. It isn't going to fix everything. You know, $10,000 sounds like a lot of money, but when you consider what they're up against, it's not a lot of money. But that's our goal, and times right now are tough for everybody. So getting people to step up and contribute in any way, shape, or form is hard. I mean, Friday night, my buddy Chris, who helps manage the band, and my sister and I and Jeff, our guitar player, were down at San Diego Harley downtown. They had an event, and we handed out probably 50 sponsorship forms, and I don't know how many people we met. The place was pretty packed, and people were just shaking our hand and listening and going, thanks, and walking away. I mean, it was one long night, and we just happened to it turned out to be pretty cool. New York Mike owns that shop and another one over in San Diego in Kearney Mesa area, and he said we happened to grab him right towards the end of the evening, and he said, "Hey, you know, come to our thing tomorrow." He was doing on Saturday. He set up a run to the cross up on Soledad, and he said, "I'll hand you the mic," and it turned out pretty good, man. I walked up and I just started asking people if they remembered what happened in November, and guys, full grown men started walking up to me with tears in their eyes and handing me money. And by the end of the day, we had raised that day, on Saturday, we raised $1,014 and some change. And that was just amazing. It was a long day, but people were just stepping up nonstop to help in the way they could. We had people walk up and put, you know, 25. And, but we're still a long way from our goal, and the show is this Saturday. And the point of having the show is to focus everybody's attention on a single event, get as many people together. This place holds 400 people. If we can get as many people together in one place as possible, and we've got some amazing raffle prizes. A buddy of mine is a commanding officer with the SEALs, and he just left on another year-long tour, and he's heading over to he's over in Afghanistan now, and he's shipping us an American flag that was flown in Iraq, and he's had it signed by him and a couple of the other officers on his SEAL team, and they're shipping it back sealed, and that'll be one of our raffle prizes. We've got guitars donated. Uh-huh. We've got a lot of people stepping up. There's just some amazing stuff that people are contributing, but it's the money we need for these families. They need to pay bills, so that's the whole point. So we're starting at 6. We'll be selling raffle tickets, and some of these things will be auction items. And the idea is to fill that place up, man. We need 400 people in that place taking a part in this and making it really happen for these guys. Because, like you guys have said, we're not exactly in the group of society that gets a lot of help. Not a lot
right.
of folks want to. So that's the point.
And this is, let me just read some here real quick. This is Saturday, May 21st, 2011. It's at the Ramona Maid Stage. It's 626 Main Street, Ramona, California. If you want to contact anybody there, it's 760-789-7008. The doors open at 6. It's an all-age show. It's $10 advance, $13 at the day of the show. It's to benefit the Saddle Tramps Motorcycle Club out of Lakeside, who was involved in that big accident in November. And, Coyote, can you give us an update on that? Have they found anything out?
No, they certainly haven't. The last I heard, they had the complete accident on video with the Border Patrol drone. They were unable to extract a plate. They were supposed to be sending it to Virginia, to the FBI lab there at Quantico. And to date, I haven't heard whether they got a plate number or not.
Well, maybe we need to fill out a public service request and send it to them. They have 10 days to respond. If they don't respond, then we'll just send a letter to the FBI. They have 10 days to respond. If they don't respond, then we'll send one to the Department of Justice and see how far it goes.
Well, that's certainly an avenue that I hadn't considered. But at the investigation, we did a lineup earlier in the year, and the guy went by us so fast that there was no way to positively identify him. And like I told the guys when we were doing the lineup, I want justice the same as everybody else. But there's certainly nothing just about trying to prosecute the wrong guy. You absolutely have to be sure.
Amen, brother.
And unfortunately, the reality of it, when that guy started his day Saturday morning, same as us, I'm pretty certain his intentions were not to kill somebody in a situation like that. It was just poor judgment. And no matter what happens, it's not going to bring anybody back.
Right.
I would like him to be held accountable for his actions.
Well, I'm sure if you and I get together, I'm sure we can write something up and we can send that off.
Right.
If you're not busy Sunday, you can meet me down at Kennedy's and we'll see if we'll put pen to paper and throw something in the mail Monday.
Okay. What time?
Probably noon or 1, right around there.
I have a wedding to perform at 1:00 on Sunday.
And Saturday you're going to be tied up with this, so if you get a hold of Ryan's sister, she can give you my cell phone number. Okay. Ah, fuck it, I'll just give it to you. You got a pen?
I certainly should have. Let's see if I can find it.
Hey, Coyote and Eric are talking all the time, so that does work, bro.
Okay. Yeah,
okay.
That's fine. She can just give you my phone number then instead of looking
okay.
for a pen.
I have a pen.
All right, 760-207-2965.
Okay.
And you can give me a call tomorrow after 5.
Okay. I will do that.
Yeah, we'll see what kind of we'll kibitz on this letter and we'll see if we can get him tap dancing back east. I like doing that shit.
Great.
That's all right, man.
I did check with Bill.
And then when they send me something back telling me no, they don't know anything about it or it's still being investigated. Okay, send me back the case number and I want to talk to you. I'm going to send a letter to your boss. What's his name?
Bill asked me to check on lodging up there, and unfortunately, because of the rodeo going on that weekend, lodging is at a minimum in Ramona.
Yeah, just
okay.
and also there's just outside of Ramona in Poway, which is about 20 minutes ride down the hill if you're nice and mellow and law-abiding and all that. There's a couple of really nice lodges down there, Poway Motor Inn and a couple others. So there are some options close by. But
you know, I just got an instant message, and just to show you guys on what goes on with things that happen between Bill and I, the some of the letters we get from people.
Yeah.
This lady here is out in Fontana, California. And she says that this guy is 25 years old and a bully. He's threatened her because she doesn't want him to spend the night at her house with her daughter. Not okay if his parents say no, that my daughter can't spend the night there. I really don't think he's a member of this club and especially in charge of them. He just likes to fight and I'm concerned for my safety and my daughter's safety. So she would rather be in a bad relationship than no relationship at all. I do not know anything about your organization, which is me and Bill and the things we do to help people, but I doubt that you take kindly to threats made against mothers that want to protect their daughter from a boyfriend who wants to spend the night. This is kind of the stuff we get. This is crazy. So I'm going to forward this on to someone that I know will check this out and see if we can stop this bullshit.
Right on.
I just thought I'd share that because it's kind of like irritating. I get those from time to time, and sometimes I don't read them on the air, and sometimes I do. But to get back to you, Ryan.
Yeah. So specifically, what we're looking to do is we're looking to ask anybody within earshot to contribute. If you remember the accidents, if you've heard about them, or you've been touched by what you hear tonight, what you've heard on the radio with us tonight. This is really going on for these families, and there's nobody coming to run and save them. So that's what we're doing. We're trying to do everything we can to get people to help them, and we need to step up and help. And anything helps.
You know, I got something. I didn't know if you guys remember who Adrian Moore is.
Uh-huh.
Channel 8.
Yeah.
She called me the day after the accident and wanted to get information and see if we could get her in touch with Coyote or anybody from the club. So, do you guys, Ryan, do you have a pen handy?
Yeah, man.
Okay. It's Adrian Moore. It's A-D-R-A-I-N Moore.
Got it.
858-472-4432. And what I'd like you to do is call her and tell her who you are. Tell her what you're doing, and ask her why the fuck she hasn't followed up on the story.
Right, you got it. I'll call her.
I got another number, too. It's 619-571-8888.
Okay.
Let's rattle some cages and see if we can get some participation out of these people who just wanted to jump on the bandwagon in the beginning.
Dan called it really well, back in November. He said at some point all the attention's going to go away and these people are going to be left needing some help. And oh, man, is that up to you.
Well, let's rattle their cage. You call her. I'm going to call her tomorrow, and we'll see what we can. We'll see what we can get her to do.
Yeah, man, we'll do. And specifically, like I say, if anybody's looking to contribute, we definitely want to try to get as many people through the door as possible. The point of that is, obviously, A, we're going to collect ticket sales from them at the door, and all that goes to the families. And B, the more people that are bidding on stuff that we have, obviously, the better it gets for the families, and that is the whole point. So it's really important that we get as many people to this event as possible. That's what makes it really go off. So
that's correct.
And Melanie, and I've been told by Dan that Melanie's planning to be there. So you'll get a chance to connect in more ways than one. What is true is at the end of the day on Saturday, we will have affected a bunch of people's lives in ways they never would have seen coming or believed was possible if we'd have told them in advance.
That's correct. Email address. I just put up the event on the chat. And the other thing I wanted to do was let you guys know that I've been plugging that away. It's going on tonight it'll be on tonight at 12:01 on the blog, which today got 29,232 hits.
Holy cow, really?
Yes, sir.
How about that, Yodi?
That's a bunch.
Right now in the United States, there's 3,421 people listening to the show.
Yeah.
In Canada, there's 506. Australia, we have 348. Brazil, we have 291. In Germany, we have 266. In the United Kingdom, besides Evil E, there's 181 people listening.
Wow.
New Zealand has 111. The Ukraine has 52. Russia has 50. In France, we have 39.
Wow. Well, check this out.
Denmark,
on Saturday... We had on
Denmark,
Saturday we
have 192, and in the Netherlands we have 151.
Wow.
And then in South Korea, there's 309. Yeah, South Korea is 309. And there's one lone guy listening in China right now.
Hey, Philip.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Do you have anyone listening in Hong Kong, dear?
No, not right now. I'll check in a few minutes, but they come and go.
Now you do, I'll tell you that much. You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about. That's all right, we're coming from France right now, so no worries.
Hey Phil, every single contribution matters. We had guys walking up handing us $100, $100 bills on Saturday, and Chris had a guy walk up to him, dressed all. He was wearing street clothes. He was looking sharp. He walked up and he said, "Hey, I want to contribute to Chris." And there was a bucket sitting there, that everybody's throwing money into. The guy pulls his wallet out and he says, "Hey, can you make change for 20?" And Chris goes, "Sure." And he says, "I need $18 back. All I can give is $2."
Uh-huh.
Now on the one hand I thought, wow, that's kind of cheap. And on the other hand, I thought, here's a dude who set his ego aside, walked up to another, and Chris is big, Chris is 6'5", walked up to Chris and said, "I want to give $2 because I got to do something."
Right.
You know?
Hey, it doesn't matter about the donation, man. It's the thought that counts. And I'm challenging everybody out there right now, dig deep and send something. It's the East County it's the East County Posse.org.
Yep. If everybody listening sent $2, this thing would be such a huge success. It's a collaborative effort. We don't expect one guy to to do at all.
No. And one thing is, you know, I've been sitting here listening, and Coyote, you've heard this song before. I'm going to dedicate this to the Saddle Tramps. And I'd like you guys just to sit back in the weeds and listen to this, and then we'll pick up this discussion after the song. This is called Forever Angel by Axel Rudy Pell.
Thank you.
Yeah, what do you guys think about that?
It's all right, man.
I thought that was appropriate.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I just want to get you guys' opinion on something. Not to deviate, but, you know, everybody, they see a cause, they jump on a bandwagon for a couple of weeks, and then it goes by the wayside. And when I first heard about this, I called that Adrian Moore. And she said she'd get back to me. And that was she posted it on May 8th. And we ring her up tomorrow. We rattle her cage and see what falls out.
But yeah, I think it's kind of human nature for people to get distracted by stuff. And so the message is we want you to remember it's not over. You know?
We're gonna try and change that.
Yeah. You know, that's the deal. We're gonna try and change that. Yeah, it's we want everybody to remember, and these people are still living it. It just kind of happens everywhere you turn, and the people that have the ability to do something, it's kind of incumbent upon them too, you know?
Right.
And that's
right.
Most of us.
Right. And the sad part for me is between Bill and I, we have so many irons and so many fires right now. We're gonna try and we both might not be able to be there, but one of us will be there Saturday. Because we have that May ride going on too, and the unfortunate thing is we were committed to the May ride before this. But I want to give you guys as much airtime and as much press as I can give you. I put this thing up every couple of days since I got it. So, like I said, it's going to go out tonight at 12:01. It'll be on all day, and then I'll just run it again Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
We will be attending that May ride during the day as well.
Yep.
Okay. What time you guys going to be there?
Starts at what, 10?
Right.
I'll be there at 10.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'll see you there at 10.
I'm with
them. I'm sorry?
I'll be up with them. We're there. I think there's a small group of guys coming up from the club, and I'm riding. And the idea is that I'm gonna have to peel off, kind of midday to get up to the club and start getting things ready up there. But I'm gonna be there bright, you know, bells and whistles, man, ready to go. And Clint has tickets up there, and he's been promoting the show a little bit too. And the whole idea was to show the brotherhood and try to get as many people from that to go right from that event to ours.
All right, and what I'll do is, since Bill's going to be there and he's the schmoozer, I'll get him to, I'll see if I can get him to bring you up and we'll hit the crowd up.
Yeah.
I'll run that by him tomorrow and we'll see if we can get in touch with everybody during the week and we'll figure this out, how we're going to do it. Yeah, and I want you guys to call back in Thursday. He'll be here Thursday.
Okay.
About the same time would be great.
Okay.
All right, then, guys. You're welcome.
And
I'll see you South. I'll talk to you Thursday, but I will see you Saturday.
All
right. Right on. Looking forward to it, and thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Bye-bye. Evil, you still there?
Yo, what's happening? Yeah.
Not much. But, hey, let me ask you this.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've seen this one.
What you're talking about?
No, I lost you, brother.
What's going on? What's got you dealing with? You want to get fixed up?
What's that?
Hello?
Yeah.
I say, what's happening with the project, the the event that you got going or something that you need the car to get fixed up. What was all that about?
Well, what happened was this club was on their anniversary, and half the club got wiped out by a drunk driver. Well, they think he was drunk, but the guy got away. It was a hit and run. But he hit another car head on, and that car made a left turn right into the middle of the pack and decimated the pack.
Yeah.
And it was wow. About, I'd say, maybe 5 or 6 miles from the border, and Cohen never heard from again. And the problem that I was talking about was they're not getting any answers. They haven't heard anything, so we'll fill out a public service action request and see what comes of that. And I'll have 10 days to respond. If they don't respond, then I'll just send one to the FBI. They have 10 days to respond. If they don't respond, then I'll send one to the Department of Justice. I'll just use the system. System to get answers.
Yeah. Oh, man.
What's going on over there?
Well, not much. Not too much.
No? Anything you want to talk about?
Not in this town.
No? All right, let me lay this one on you. This one came out last Thursday. It's, I put it up in the chat room, but it's the Supreme Court in Indiana said that you have no right to resist illegal cop entry into your home, overturning a common law dating back to the English Magna Carta of 1215. The Indiana Supreme Court ruled Thursday that Hoosiers in the state of Indiana have no right to resist unlawful police entry into their homes. In a 3-2 decision, the Justice Stephen David, writing for the court, said if a police officer wants to enter your home for any reason or no reason at all, a homeowner cannot do anything to block the officer's entry. Bullshit.
Who wants to go into your house in the first place?
Right. What he said was, we believe a right to resist an unlawful police entry to your home is against public policy and is incapable and is incompatible with modern Fourth Amendment jurisprudence. Find that allowing resistance unnecessarily escalates the level of violence and therefore the risk of injury to all parties involved without preventing the arrest.
Yeah.
This all came about because police were called to investigate a husband and wife arguing outside their apartment. When the couple went back inside, the husband told police they were not needed and blocked the doorway so they could not enter. When an officer entered anyway, the husband shoved the officer against the wall. A second officer used a stun gun on the husband and arrested him. So, yeah, it's getting crazy, man.
They need a warrant.
Yeah, but this guy's saying they don't need a warrant. Their Supreme Court says they don't need a warrant.
What about if there's a crime being committed within the house and they're allowed to come in?
Well, it says here that police serving a warrant may enter home without knocking if officers decide circumstances justify it. So in other words, they can walk by your front door and say, I smell pot. Or I heard somebody scream for help. Who's to say they didn't hear it?
Yeah, that's weird.
You know, prior to this ruling, police serving a warrant would have to obtain a judge's permission to enter without knocking.
Yeah. You know, any cop could come in here now and think that, say that somebody was.
That's what they're saying, but I don't. It's under, but I don't think they can do it.
Yeah. Well, Phil, I really want you to watch that that link, well, when you get the time, I understand you got a lot of shit to sift through. You know,
yeah.
You get a lot of emails and stuff, you know.
Right.
And I've had quite a few from you I've had to sift through as well, right?
Yeah, you did.
But, that link I sent, you really got to watch that, because you'd be amazed at the level of corruption down in South Florida. They were saying they were moving so many keys down there, all under the protection of the cops. Man, you got to really
see.
Well, yeah.
No, they're just like the guns that are going to Mexico. It's all under the protection of the cops.
You know, half of Miami was built on drug money, didn't you? In fact, most of it
right.
was.
Right. You know, just talking about that, you know, it makes me wonder where all the pride and integrity went with some of the forces we have. The only ones that there isn't really anyone that I really follow, because I think they're all corrupt in their own way. They're the biggest gang out there. And somebody sent me something about America the other day, and it's kind of like, the heading says the Statue of Liberty shaking her fist. So let me play this. This is a pretty good song, and we're gonna take a quick break. I'm gonna play this song and then I'll be right back, Evil Lee. Okay? But I want you to listen to the
all
song, because right. I don't think you've heard it before.
All right.
Gonna go right now.
American girls and American guys, we'll always stand up and salute. We'll always recognize when we see old glory flying. There's a lot of men dead, so we tonight when we lay down our heads. My daddy served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard. Till the day that he died, he wanted my mother, my brother, my sister, and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that I love is falling under attack. He mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back. Soon as we could see clearly,
do like
Were you able to hear that? Pretty good?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
I sent it to you. I sent it to two.
All right.
You check it out later. But, nah, you know, it's getting worse, man. It's getting worse. I keep hearing all these things, and nobody's doing nothing about it.
Yeah.
You know, it feels like...
So what is the latest in Mexico, anyhow? What is the latest in Mexico?
What's the latest from Mexico? Nothing, really.
Huh?
Haven't heard too much. We just found some more bodies the other day, but other than that, nothing.
How about California? How's that getting on down there?
Raining today.
Yeah?
Raining today, tonight, tomorrow.
Yeah, you told me. Well, here hasn't really been raining. It's been drizzling a little bit, but it hasn't been raining as much, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
When you heading out?
I don't know, when I get a bit of money. I was telling you earlier, I'm saying, watch it get, it's a bit dry at the minute, you know?
But
the weather ain't too bad here. What's the point of leaving out, you know what I mean?
Right. I just got another request to send that, what I just sent you to someone else. I'm going to do that right now. It's crazy, man.
Wow, man.
You know? I mean, where do we go from here?
Yeah.
You know? They just came out with a thing the other day about amendments to the helmets. But,
Yeah.
I'm not buying another one. They had the same one for 17 years. I'm not changing it.
Oh, they've, Yeah. So what's happened with a helmet law in California?
Hang on one second. I can bring that up to you right now. This came out the other day. Let's see. Well, we got one the other day. I can tell you this one. This came out of Corona, California. The courthouse closed the doors to the public and the media interested in attending trials. They're not allowed, members of the media and the public are not allowed to attend red light camera trials and other proceedings at the Superior Court of California Courthouse in the city of Corona. For the past several weeks, a policy has been in place denying entry to anyone with a direct involvement in a specific case scheduled that day. Court security verifies this information before allowing entrance into the building. Please be advised that this court facility is closed to the general public. So I didn't know you couldn't go to, if you wanted to go and sit in on a trial, yeah, I guess you have to have a ticket to get there. It seems that criminal trials that I know of,
you know,
you know, it's like criminal trials both here and in England had, you know, I thought they presumptively open, you know, and then Chief Justice Warren Burger wrote, "This is no quirk of history. Rather, it's been long recognized as an indispensable attribute of the Anglo-American trial. Both Hale in the 17th century and Blackstone in the 18th saw the openness to the proper functioning of a trial. It gave assurance that the proceedings were conducted fairly to all concerned, and it discouraged perjury.
the misconduct of participants, and decisions based on secret bias or partiality. In general, you know, I always thought the trials involving juveniles or terrorists, they were closed, you know. But the government had to show a compelling interest in doing it, to close it.
Yeah, I just always wondered about that. How'd you get to go in a court and watch a trial? Can you just go in there and sit down and watch it, you know? I've always wondered.
Yeah, do
that.
Something stupid. You can watch what's going to happen to you.
Oh, I mean, you see a really interesting one, you know? It's like a bit of meat to it. Can you go in there and sit down and watch it, you know?
Right. I mean, it's like right now.
I've always won. You know, like the trial of O.J. Simpson. Could you just go in there and watch it, so to speak?
Yeah. That was a media circus, so they really haven't done it. I know that the only one that I know of is the only one that I know of that I've seen lately, besides that Charlie Sheen fiasco, is Lindsay Lohan.
Okay.
And I just put that link up in the chat room. But I don't know. It seems like we're in a stranglehold, and the only person I know that says it best is Ted Nugent. So I'm gonna play another song, and then we'll pick this up right after that.
Thank you.
Ted.
Hello?
Yeah. What's up, man?
Yeah, so.
Nada. You got anything you want to talk about?
Do you hear me all right?
Yeah, now.
Oh, okay. I don't know what's going on.
Nah, it's not you, man.
I'm using something similar to Skype, so it might be that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, since we're talking about, as I brought up freedom, I want to, this is a good one. See if you tell me who this is.
Credit by Toulouse for presenting yourselves on this battlefield.
I give you thanks.
This is our army. To join it, you give homage.
I give homage to Scotland. And if this is your army, why does it go?
We didn't come here to fight for them.
Oh, the English are too many.
Sons of Scotland. William Wallace.
William Wallace is 7 feet tall.
Yes, I've heard. Killed men by the hundreds. And if he were here, he'd consume the English with fireballs from his eyes and bolts of lightning from his arms.
like a guy said in a movie one time. This is what he said.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. And nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that.
Got that in a nutshell.
That's from the movie Rocky, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember which
one.
I know it was familiar.
Yeah, Rocky Balboa. Here's another one.
Which one?
That was Rocky Balboa. This is another one. What do you think, man?
Yeah, neat.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to remember what movie
yeah.
that one was from. The first one, I think.
No, it's from the fourth one.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. But,
yeah,
you know, it's... Yeah. Yeah, you got me thinking about freedom and everything else. But,
yeah.
No, to get back to what you were talking about with the helmets.
Yeah.
They just made an update the other day. And what they did is they updated the helmet law in an attempt to stop people from wearing improperly certified helmets and novelty helmets.
The law doesn't change the construction of the helmets directly, but changes the way they're labeled to make it more difficult to mimic DOT compliance certifications. But my understanding is, once you buy it, it's yours. You can take this if you want. The burden of proof falls on them.
You can take what? Did you say? Sorry, there was a cutout when you in mid-sentence when you were talking. You're saying when you buy it, you can take what out? The sticker, or was it something? What was that?
Once you buy this, once you buy the helmet, it's yours. So you can do whatever you want to it. If the sticker happens to fall off, it fell off, but it was on when you bought it, so that shows compliance. See, it says,
so
it says here now.
What are they going on about now? That's saying that you can't order.
You know, it's
anyway.
All about a dollar, man. It's all about making money. I'm going to tell you right now. 10 people get tickets, 9 of them are going to pay it, and 1's going to go to court. Maybe.
Yeah.
See, it says here, now helmets that conform to Federal Motor Vehicle Safety Standard 218 will carry a sticker with the manufacturer's name, the helmet model, and the words FMVSS 218 certified. The move to make the helmet safer comes after a number of riders sporting unsafe and novelty brain buckets increased dramatically in 2010 over two. According to the statistics, 54% of motorcyclists wore a DOT-approved lid in 2010. Around 14% wore a novelty helmet, and 32% went without a helmet altogether. In 2009, those numbers were 67%, 9%, and 24%. In 2010, 75% of the riders who did not elect to wear a helmet wore a DOT-compliant one. In 2009, the number was 86%. But that's their update from National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. But there's another one. Came out of this one came out of. It says the checkpoint stops here. Motorcycle rights group argues that only checkpoints are unconstitutional. This story is by Kevin Longry out of Beta, California. They drafted an original checkpoint legislation, AB 1047, which is designed to identify and correct possible safety hazards on California motorcycles. Basically, what it was is it was giving them carte blanche to pull you over if they thought your bike was unsafe. And usually, it was all stupid stuff. You didn't put on a turn signal and change lanes or something like that. But it's like this AB 1047 is not a unique legislation. It's a similar motorcycle target bill being fought by bikers' rights groups across the country. In New York, a similar battle has gone to the courts, with the plaintiffs arguing the constitutionality of motorcycle-only checkpoints. Some have suggested that the case is on track to be heard by the Supreme Court, though at this point there was little more than conjecture. Wrong one. The Fourth Amendment protects U.S. citizens from unreasonable searches and seizures. The argument then falls on either side of what constitutes reasonable or unreasonable action on the part of law enforcement. What is the amendment states provides the problem? So that's where we go. That's where it's going with that, man. Same shit, just another day.
Yeah.
So
you can't touch it then. So you're kind of saying that you can't order the helmet once you buy it then.
Yeah, you can. It's yours. You can do whatever you want to it. No law says you can.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Blue in Canada said she knows three people that.
If you get a ticket, you don't pay it, you end up in court, right?
Well, yeah, but you can go down there and request a hearing, and then everybody gets subpoenaed to come to court. The last time I went, it was after I got through with all the paperwork and everything. They spent about $5,600. The state did, to fight me over a helmet ticket that got dismissed.
So it's like if you don't pay anything, isn't it, you know?
Yeah.
If you don't pay a gas, electric, or utility bill, they'll take you to court, wouldn't they?
After they turn it off, yeah.
You know,
no, it's, like,
it's normally the phone company, isn't it, people have wrangles with, you know. I had the same thing with those assholes, you know. And it, tickets or anything, a lot of the time they're trying to bully you to get more money out of you on what the original charges were. You know?
Well, it's like I told you, man. 10 people will get a ticket and 9 of them will pay it, and the other one will be there'll only be one that goes to court. It's just like if we get 40,000 people in California to not wear a helmet for one day, we'd shut down the court system.
Yeah.
just for one day, they'd shut down the court.
You know, they always pick holes in us about, you know, and try and squeeze money out of us. And if we're trying to make money in the slot, it don't matter. As I say about the link I sent you.
Yeah.
Fucking Florida was built on drug money. Florida was built on drug money.
So was a lot of places. Yeah, so was a lot of places.
How many states do you have built on pure corrupt money down there? How many would you say?
I'd say probably 20 to 25.
I think quite this town, even this town where I am now, quite a lot of it over here has been built on corruption somewhere along the line. But I mean, I'm on the scale that we're talking. But they take us. If we don't do anything, they think they can push us around if we fight back, you know?
Right. I just got a thing, I'm going to put it up in a chat room, but it's about taking a motorcycle helmet survey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, let me put it up there right now. Ah, fucker. Won't do it. There we go.
Yeah, I tried to upload something earlier, actually, from Google Maps, where I used to live. I tried to upload it on Facebook, and it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
Can you take photos off Google Maps, can you? Or you have to download them?
No, I think you just print it.
Okay.
Yeah, you should be able to just print it. But,
yeah, you print
it. What I'm going to do now is...
print it, will go on to... Yeah.
Yeah. What I'm going to do is,
Sorry, you're going to...
We're down in a few minutes, so I'll see you tomorrow in Hermes, and then I'm gonna close this out with Charlie Baker's Ride, and
I'm gonna be pretty sleepy
guys.
Here. Yeah.
And I invite everybody back Thursday, and I thank you for calling and staying on the line, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, my friend. I'll speak to you later.
All right, brother.
Bye.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
Air is good on.
night, everybody.